Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol yeh bedvaro. And we mentioned in the past the Shem Yishmuel, and Yoni Rosh Hashanah, page 86, he writes in the name of his father, the Heilige Sokotchover, the Avnei Nezer, that's part of the idea why we're making, we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, Ayyadei Tzvila b'mikvah. Why do we go into the mikvah? And this is something already the Sefer HaChinuch HaMitzvah Kufayin Gimel is clearly merames too. And that is, we go into Hashem's world. We go into the world of the Yam, as Rabbeinu Avraham and Agro writes in Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadiyei and Pasuk Hei. We recite it every Friday night in the midst of Luchon Aranino, Asher Lo HaYam, Avehu Asahu. And when it comes to the Yam, Asher Lo, that belongs to the Eibishter. And that is the world of God. Avehu Asahu, Alpi the Gron, Aderus of the Old Beginning of Rashis, Alpi the Nefshachayim, and Shar Aleph. Abriya is Kriyishu Etznilo, Yesh Meayin, Yetziris, once something's in the world, I then give it a designated form and features. Asiya highlights and connotes the sense of the Makiv HaPatish, Tehainu, the Gemar Tikkun HaDavar. Asher lo hayam v'aso, the Yam is done. It's already complete. Rav Hirsch even writes, it's called the Yam, just like a Yom. Yom, a day, is a complete revolution, a complete cycle. That is the phonetic cognate of Yom, of Yam. The seas, that's why there are seven seas. 70% of the universe is water. It's a sense of completion. Yom, Yam, the Yamim. It's all a sense of, it's a done deal. Who lives in the sea? The dog. The dog is Gematria Dalet Gimel. Seven. It's already Sholem, the dog. Mela, how we eat the dagim on Shabbos on the Yom HaShavi. And that's already a done deal. We go into God's world, and no coincidence, I'll be the Shloh, the Reishis Chochma. Elohim is Gematria 86, Gematria HaTeva. One name highlights the name of creating Teva more than anything else, the name Elohim. What is the number one staple of our existence? And that which signifies Teva more than anything else in the world of Mayim. No coincidence. Melech is Gematria 90, Mayim is Gematria 90. Elohim, who made the Teva, who made the Mayim? Elohim is Rosh Tevis, Asher Lo Hayam. Elohim is broken up into two distinct words, Kel Hayam. Eberster is the Kel Hayam. We go into the mikvah. We thus commit symbolic suicide. We destroy the person we've been until now, and we emerge a totally new Bria. I'd like to now add Anu Nakuda. We mentioned in the past the Heilige B'nai Yisoschar, who writes about the Sinyan, other Mohaitigas for Menchas Yitzchak Alatayra, Adayan Weiss, and others mention this as well. The Eibishter gave us 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, culminating in Yom Kippur. These 40 days, as we mentioned, correspond to the Mem Yom of Yetziris of Lod. It's a re-emergence into this world. It's Hayom Haras Olam. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a new conception. It's a new birth. Thus, we have 40 days, just as it takes 40 days for the Yetziris of Lod. But adds the B'nai Yisoschar, know the Nakuda, how we know that we destroy the person we've been until now. And we emerge from the surface of the water of Briya Chadasha Pshuto Kimashma. What's in the mikvah? A mem saw of a mikvah. And now let's remember also, the tzura of a mikvah is like the tzura of a mem. The Menchas Yitzchak says, the tzura of a mem, kilu, it's square. And that is mayim. Mayim is a mem, kilu, and a mem. And that is the tzura of a mikvah. What's the minimum shear of a mikvah? You need mem saw. And a mem saw, how much is a saw? 24 lugin. How many lugin thus in a mikvah? 24 times 40, 960. Writes the B'nai Yisoschar, writes the Menchas Yitzchak, 960 lugin in a mikvah. And how many hours in the 40 days times 24 from Rosh Chodesh Elul culminating in Yom Kippur? 40 times 24, 960. Eibishter says in this, the Menachas Yitzchak says, it's Rabbi Akiva, and the Mishnah of Sof Hayuma, Hamimatar Eschem, Hashem is the Hashem, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Dehainu, the same way the 960 Luganim of Mikvah brings you me, Tuma, the Tahara, of the 960 hours of Chodesh Elul is an opportunity, Eibishter says, to recreate yourself anew, to reemerge from the 960 hours beginning with the Rosh Chodesh Elul, culminating in a Yom Kippur that will bring you me Tuma Latara. In addition, I'd like to mention some facts. Perhaps you've read my shtickle. It was printed in a Dialogue journal a few years ago. Aquatic Perfection, The Fascinating World of Fish and Water. But I've since added a few marmacomas, more than just a few perhaps. But since we're in hurricane season, after Hurricane Harvey and then Hurricane Irma, and now Jose. So let's just quote from Sebastian Younger's The Perfect Storm. He writes, and this is the New York Times bestseller, I quote in footnote 47, a mature hurricane is by far the most powerful event on earth. The combined nuclear arsenals of the United States and the former Soviet Union don't contain enough energy to keep a hurricane going for one day. A typical hurricane encompasses 1 million cubic miles of atmosphere and could provide all the electric power needed by the United States for 3 to 4 years. That's the power of one single hurricane. And now let's quote from Extraordinary Book of Facts, page 234. In 10 minutes, a hurricane releases more energy than all the world's nuclear weapons combined. More ships have been sunk by hurricanes than by warfare. A Gevurah Geshomim indeed. A Maskirin Gevurah Geshomim. Brochus Tam Gimel Min Aleph. Tainus Tam Beis Min Aleph. It's called Gevurah Geshomim. Nachlas Yaakov. It comes down both in Gevurah. No one raindrop ever touches another raindrop also. And the Mela, everyone is targeting a specific Mako. But let's go to Isaac Asimov, page 466 of his book of facts. Weather hazards, rainstorms, snowstorm, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes cost the United States $11.6 billion in property damage and over 1,000 lives annually. And this is pre-Katrina days, which cost the United States over $25 billion. Pre-Harvey, where the estimates are already now over $120 billion. Pile plug. All Ayyadeh. What? All Ayyadeh the Mayim. Always through water. So I thought to speak about this because I saw an article that came out today. And many people are writing it to scientists all over the world. With all our technology, why can't we control the weather? We can't predict it. And we mentioned many times how the idea of Isaac Asimov, Queen Elizabeth in 1953, and rain, cats, and dogs. But listen to something else. This is from a letter written by the noted essayist E.B. White. Sailors have an expression about the weather. They say the weather is a great bluffer. We just never know precisely what the weather holds in store. And let's go back to Sebastian Younger and the perfect storm. And no one, not even the weather service, knows for sure what a storm is going to do. And listening in a professional meteorologist is recorded in the Book of Extraordinary Facts. And weather is a naturally chaotic system tending to defy predictability. When asked by an interviewer, what's the question? This meteorologist was asked, what's the single question you get asked most often? The response was, why do the weather people get it wrong so often? They can't get it right. An average 24-hour forecast is only right 75% of the time. A 3-day forecast is only right 40% of the time. And we can't control it. People were saying, oh, if you put an atom bomb into the eye of the storm, all the scientists say we cannot control it, we cannot predict it. With all the satellites, we cannot know exactly what it's going to do. And finally, turning to Dance with Chance, 2009 New York Times bestseller, the author's right. The problem is that weather system don't always stay in the same course. A new high pressure system can develop and stop, cancel or modify the progress of the low pressure one. That's why no matter how expert they are and how many supercomputers they use, meteorologists can never ever be sure what the weather systems will do. And despite vast arrays of satellite images and computers, meteorologists can't tell you if it's going to rain in a week's time with any sense of certainty. But the most fascinating phenomenon I found was, it's not just the hurricanes, it's not just the floods and the storms. Even water itself is beyond our comprehension. Lloyd and Mitchison write in the second book of General Ignorance, water, hydrogen oxide, is the strangest substance known to science. It's a liquid that behaves so differently from any other that theoretically it should not even exist. That's the metzius of water itself. There are 66 known ways in which water is abnormal, the most peculiar being that nothing else in nature is found simultaneously as a liquid, solid, and a gas. Glancing at yet another one of their books, they cite D.H. Lawrence, who said, water is H2O, hydrogen two parts, oxygen one, but there's a third thing that makes it water, and nobody knows what that is. It doesn't make sense. Amister uses water, and nothing better to highlight, it belongs to him. We have no shaykhs to it. We can't understand it. 99% of the world, in fact, if you include everything, is mamish water. It's all the Amister. He controls the world, and he highlights he's always in control, even when it makes no sense. Where do we see that a mamish made no sense? And a Novi highlighted had the uniqueness of water. And we have the famous Megala Mukas. We have the story of Elisha and the general Naaman. Naaman and Sefer Melachim and Melachim Beis. He was afflicted with leprosy. And he went to doctors. He searched for everything all over the world. How to get healed from the leprosy. Finally, they said, there's a Novi. There's a Jewish leader. Maybe go to him. And Elisha the Novi, the Talmud of Eliyahu Novi, sends back through a messenger. Tell him to dunk in the Yarden seven times. Dunk in the Yarden seven times. That's that's not good for leprosy. Paro was a mitzayra. Say he bathed in the blood of a chulei, but they go mamish into water, it's only going to exacerbate it. How can he bathe? The Navi said to do what he doesn't. What happens? Miraculously, he gets healed. How he goes over to Elisha. How can I thank you? How did Elisha know? All right, it's the Megalamukas. Elisha says it's the Torah, it's the Eivishter that healed you. I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I just told you to go into Hashem's water. How did I know to go into Hashem's water? Because your name is Naaman. Your name begins with a nun, writes the Megalamukas. It ends with a nun, and it has an ayin and mem in the middle. There are three psukim and chumash that begin with a nun, end with a nun, and have an ayin and mem in the middle, writes the Eilige Megalamukas. Novi bekirbucha v'chugul v'chulei eilav tishmon has a nun at the beginning and the end, has an ayin mem in the middle. Anachnu navor esa yardain and shlach begins with a nun, ends with a nun. Unbelievable. So we have a Navi. We have the Yardin and Neget Saras Kisiyah Bikirbucha Bechule. It starts with the Nun. It talks about Saras. At least the Navi says, your name is Naaman. It begins with the Nun, ends with the Nun, has an Ayin Mem in the middle. Three Psukim and Chumash begin with the Nun, end with the Nun, have an Ayin Mem in the middle. One talks about Saras. One talks about listening to a Navi. And one talks about going through the Yardin. And Melai knew that you have the leprosy. You're going to come to the Navi. And the Navi's going to tell you to go into the Yardin. And Melai looks up to Megalamukas. That's how we knew to give her a four Shalema. Pile Plo. But now let's close with a gorgeous Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and a gemaldige sefer Pnina Yerachai Sonib. And they quote Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Talmud of the Sraf Mibrisk, the Maril Rabbi Shule Diskid, who had a Masera from the Gro, always makbet to find an asmachta somewhere in Tanakh to every halacha that we have. So they asked Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. We have a famous Gemara in Yuma Laman Aleph and Aleph. Verochetz besor b'mayim. When it comes to Nyoni Tumah v'taro, a state in pasuk, you're going to go into mayim. How do I know what that means? Maybe go into a bath. Maybe going through a shower. The Gemara comes out, the Kavan is L'tvila B'mei Mikvah. And from that, Chazal deduce every Rechitza that appears in conjunction with the Yonei Tum and Tara and Tanakh, it means, Verochetz means you have to go into a mikvah. You have to go into a kosher mikvah, into the Memso, into the 960 Lugan, you have to go into a mikvah. So where's the Makar, Mechitesi? Who told us that that's Rechitza? Maybe it means going to a shower, going to a bath, going to a swimming pool. Hazog to Yosef Chaim Sonnefeld. Makor HaDovar, Al Pi HaKosuv B'Naamon, in Melachim Beis, and Perakei. Our Pasuk says, when Naaman, when they sent the messengers to Elisha Novi, Vayishach Elav Elisha Malach Lemor, so Elisha sent back a messenger, telling him what? Haloch V'Rachatzto Sheva Pa'amin B'Yardein. He tells him what? I want you to go V'Rachatzto 7 times in a Yardein. What does that mean, V'Rachatzto? Right afterwards it says, that Naaman listened, Vayered Vayidbol the Yardein Sheva Pa'amin. He was Tovel in the Yardein, the natural water, 7 times. So what do we see? Elisha sent back the message, Haloch Brachatzta, I want you to be Rochetz in the Yardin. Maybe that means to stand in the Yardin and just throw some water upon you. And we see afterwards that Amon understood the Kavan of Rechitz is Vayirid Vayitbo Vayardin. And that is the Remez, that's the Asmakta, that a Rechitz of Amayim alludes to what? To a Maisa Tefillah. So the Rechitz is the Tefillah. Arkan Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. So one has to wonder, and this is the Makar. Why Dafka by Naaman? Oh, Phineas Daiti, it's Mishma. This is the Makar for Tefillah. How does Tefillah work? You go with the water with some magic, it works. It's a part of what? It doesn't make any sense. A leper is going to get healed. The whole story of Naaman shows us what? It makes no sense. He has leprosy, and everybody knows a leper, the last thing you do, you don't dunk in water. And the Navi tells him, dunk? No, that's it, you got to do it. It's a hafuk, it doesn't make sense. And you know what? Water itself doesn't make sense. 66 abnormalities. The strangest substance in the world. It doesn't make sense what Elisha told him doesn't make sense. Oh, it's all the Eivishter. How does mikvah work in a metaphysical plane? It's Ayla, Midei, Tuma, Letara. It doesn't make sense. Teretz is, you go into God's world, it doesn't have to make sense. And God's world, things don't make sense. You connect to Eivishter. You're the Maila Menateva. This whole Maisa doesn't make sense. But a Navi tells you to do it. Ayyadei the Taira. This is the Maila Menateva. That's the Yisoda Mikvah. All these Inyanim, Bechulei, hurricanes, it doesn't make sense. The power of Chulei. That's all a reminder, and it's a wake-up call. That's always a wake-up call to get us to act. I'm sure you saw the imagery when Hurricane Irma on all the images that were being sent down. And to look, the path of Irma looked like a shofar. Looked like a shofar. Uri Yashem Shinaskan. It's a wake-up call, but the biggest wake-up call has got to come by Yidei Mayim. How the flooding, the hurricane goes, but the water still stays around and lingers the longest. Hey, Mr. says, I'll give you more time. Wake up. up, wake up, it's time to wake up. Or Yesheni Mishin Aschem, before you get ready for a Shana, by a Maisa Tefillah B'mikvah, and Nechama before Yom Kippur, let's get the wake-up call from the Mayim that the Eibishter sent. And now to the United States, more than in any time, we've never had water like this. How many wake-up calls do we need? Or Yesheni Mishin Aschem, Kitzun Adami Mitar Damaschem, Shibru Maaseichem, Mishim Yisoichem, Amet Hashem tonight, we're up to the next Bracha Al Tzedikim and the Tefillah Chabura Machshava, that's 8:15 to 9 o'clock in the Daf Yomi room. Night Kolo, Amet Hashem 8:15 9:45, followed by 9:45 Mariv. Ayashikar, don't forget to give to Kol Nidre as much as you possibly can. We'll get the great rest of the week ahead. Kaddish, please.